Secondly...
Can you state your name, sir?
Excuse me?
Can you state your name?
My name is Victor Apalan.
Okay, sir, your hearing is going to be handled by board member Mr. David Neal. The next voice you will hear will be Mr. Neal.
Okay, good morning, sir. Could you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
My name is Victor Conrad Apalan, 077650.
Thank you, sir. You have been for any of the board executive clearance to offer to your community supervision member, Captain? Okay, I'm going to introduce the board member that will conduct the hearing. The gentleman walking the way out is...
I'm not sure.
That's easy way to start. He's going to put out. That's Mr. Lynn Jones. To my right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse, and to her right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Neal, I'll be your hearing lead today. Also, the room from Department of Corrections, we have Mr. Lesby, and also the Honorable Torloss today. So, part of this hearing, you choose notification advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. On the form, you will notify of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a license of attorney at your own expense. Is it hiring an attorney or is it representing yourself today, sir?
I represent myself.
At this time, you will swear to me, Mr. Lesby, so you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God, and then you tell us first?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. You have to be able to do things, sir, phase one of the code of the terms and conditions of the community supervision have been violated. Then in phase two, we need to turn up where the supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the two allegations that are on your board. After each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false, okay?
Okay.
Alright, allegation number one violates the board's own condition of supervision number 7. A demonstration of our use of alcohol, UTG, on or about March 23rd, 2018, for the task lab report dated March 24th, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true.
Okay, allegation number two violates the board's own condition of supervision number 2. As demonstrated by your failure to report to the Black Canyon Regional Parole Office located at 24601 North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about March 28, 2018, as verbally directed on March 27, 2018, you were actively avoiding supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
I'm going to have to say that's false, because only...
Okay, well, hang on a minute. Since you say that allegation number 2 was false, we asked Mr. Lesby to go over the allegation and give some information on it.
On March 29, 2018, the offender called Community Corrections Supervisor Rodriguez. On March 27, 2018, Community Corrections Officer Christina Luft made contact with the offender, Victor Altamirano, 057650, via telephone to discuss his urine sample submitted at TASC on March 23, 2018, that tested positive for alcohol, ETG. The offender admitted to drinking alcohol on or about March 22, 2018. The offender was verbally directed by Community Corrections Officer Luft to report in person to Black Canyon Regional Parole Office, BCRO, located at 24601 North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85027, on March 29th, 2018, by 3 p.m., to be staffed with the supervisor. The offender failed to report to BCRO on March 29th, 2018, is verbally directed on March 27th, 2018. The offender is actively avoiding supervision. Follow-up, on March 29th, 2018, the offender called Community Corrections Supervisor Rodriguez and stated he was bedridden because he was in pain, thinks he has sciatica, and he was not going to report to the parole office as directed. The offender has a history of making excuses for his non-compliance, and after using motivational interviewing techniques, the offender finally stated that he would report to the parole office. The offender did not report to the parole office. On April 2nd, 2018, CCO Luft attempted to make contact with the offender by going to his girlfriend, Lorena German's house at 5607 South 6th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85041, where the offender had previously stated that he spends a lot of his time. The offender was at the residence and stated that he had been in a lot of pain, that it wasn't worth the pain to come to the parole office on March 29th, 2018. CCO Luft observed that the offender was able to stand and walk around while discussing his non-compliance. The offender then stated that he knew he shouldn't have drank alcohol, but he didn't understand why he must come to the parole office since he was in pain. CCO Luft reminded the offender that he was in violation and therefore must report to the parole office to speak with the supervisor. The offender stated that he has tried to live his life and stay out of trouble, but the black cloud of parole has made it hard for him to do that, and that he is starting not to care anymore. The offender stated that he isn't sure if he'll be able to come to the parole office because riding his bike in the bus hurts his back. When asked why he could not get a ride to the parole office, he said that it is too much of a hassle to ask for rides and no one will help him, and he doesn't want to ask his mother because she will complain the whole time. The offender admitted that he has not been staying at his mother's house, which is his approved residence, but has been spending every day at his girlfriend's house. The offender continued to give excuses as to why he has had multiple violations and made the statement, quote, "If you're going to buy me over one beer, then go ahead," end quote, as he started to become agitated. The offender is saying that he knows he's had several violations, but since he hasn't been breaking any laws and he's been having pain issues, it shouldn't matter. CCO Luft handed the offender a reporting instructions notice violation letter dated April 2nd, 2018. The letter included directives for the offender to report to BCRO on April 4th, 2018 by 10 a.m. At first, the offender stated he was not sure if he would make it, but then he stated he would be there. The offender did not report to the parole office. The offender left a voicemail message on CCO Luft's phone on April 4th, 2018, stated that he was in pain, was not going to come to the parole office, and if he's going to get in trouble for it, then so be it. The case was staffed by Community Corrections Supervisor Rodriguez. The offender had several opportunities, but refused several directives to report to the parole office. On April 6, 2018, CCO Luft contacted Maricopa Integrated Health Systems, MIHS, who stated that he did not have the offender registered in any of their facilities. As of April 6, 2018, the offender has not reported to the Black Canyon Regional Parole Office and has not further contacted his assigned parole officer. And also attached to the warrant should be a copy of the violation letter that was left for him at his residence.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Alcantara, what is false about that?
You know, I shouldn't say it was false. It is true. All I was saying was that I wasn't avoiding, you know, per se. I called him up.
Okay, sir. Thank you. You have an opportunity to discuss it further, okay? We're going to see how he's worth his brain time. So, based on the decisions of Mr. Alcantara, we were finding the delinquent and evaluated in terms of the condition of the supervision and that he may have lost or not lost in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Which was myself, Mr. Neal, seconded by Ms. Rubenhouse, and agreed by Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Nunes. Okay, so then we're going to phase two. We're hearing this point in time, and we begin to move forward. Mr. Westby's going to bring some background information, so stay on forward, and I'll be back to you in a moment, okay?
Okay.
On April 19th, 2017, Mr. Alton Morano was released from the Department of Corrections. He was arrested April 10th, 2018, by DOC staff under charges. He was back in DOC custody that same day, with an adjusted CCD of April 30th, 2019, 12 Sundays. Current conviction, 2008, aggravated DUI, two counts, each for 12 years. Prior convictions, 1986, burglary, third degree, 1 year. 1991, DWI, license suspended or revoked, two counts, each for 3 years. 1999, marijuana violation, 6 months. 2004, aggravated DUI, 4.5 years. 2004, aggravated assault, 1 year, 9 months. This is his fifth term in the Department of Corrections. CUIR score 2-2, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 1986, temporary release, completed 2 months. 1999, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. 2006, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, reinstated by the BOEC. Absconded. I don't know how many days here you absconded, but I can look up that information. And reached CCD before BOEC. His disciplinary violations are significant and lengthy, with possession of contraband, drugs, violence, fighting, and criminal damage noted. Other arrest. 2000. Domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. And all other charges, all other arrests resulted in charges that were dismissed or not filed. His community risk score is a G3B5.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Alternator, we're going to go over a summary of your case supervision. I will tell you that I have copies of the letter that you said earlier about your work history. And I will tell you that the issues that you brought up in the letter are not part of the issues today. So we will be leading to cross-examining the witnesses about that you mentioned about your work history. So now, shows that you were approved resigning with your mother, Virginia Barnes, in Greendale, where her residence was approved. Now, we know that in that allegation, so you say that you were spending more time with your girlfriend than you did at your mother's house?
I don't know if it's more time. I was spending a lot of time over there, yes.
Okay, so you were spending a lot of time at your girlfriend's house rather than at your mother's house where you were supposed to be staying, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, was there any place else between, besides those two places you stayed, or just at your mother's and your girlfriend's?
No, just whatever was easier to go to work, because I was riding a bus, and I would catch one bus from my daughter's house, and we've got 9 grandkids that I've never met before, so I would spend a lot of time with them.
Okay.
And that's the situation.
Okay. So let's move on to your employment. We're just going over it. You're not an issue with, you know, not proof of you working or how much overtime you worked or anything. That itself is an issue. But now, are you working the entire time you're out?
Yes. The first 2 jobs, they said I didn't have enough experience. And then finally, I did get a job that was happy with my experience. And yes, I was employed for most of the time out there.
Okay. So, it says that we stated that you had stopped working on March 29th due to having an undiagnosed pain in your back and leg. Is that correct?
That's correct, and there was a diagnosis on one of them, and we were in the process of getting an MRI on the sciatica issue.
Okay, and when was your sciatica diagnosed?
The sciatica wasn't, but I had some lumbar problems. I believe it was a diagnosis. I went and got x-rays on, and they gave me some pills, and they said that I need to also get an MRI for the sciatica. And Rodriguez, when he arrested me, there was about 5 sheets of paper. He had that along with the 2 prescriptions that I was taking for medication for the pain and for the anti-inflammatory one for muscle spasms. He never gave those back to me, so I don't know if you guys got them there or what he ended up doing with them, but he had all of my medical papers there.
Okay, whatever. Those aren't the specific issues. I'm sure these guys are in file at the parole office. So when was that diagnosis done, when you got the x-ray? the parole officer to be given back to the QAF, correct?
I could, yes, sir. I could be on the bed, man. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I'd fall to my hands and knees in the morning on the way back from the restroom in the hallway. I'd have to crawl back on the bed. And that's the truth of it. I'm not lying.
Okay.
I was real bad.
So the answer is yes. That's why you didn't go.
Yes, and I called him because of that. I was hired.
When CCO came to you, let's see, and talked to you in person, and you were able to stand and walk around while discussing your non-compliance. So that's going on to your program, you know, that you were assigned a task under the cover of peace, and you had June 28th, 2017, you tested positive for marijuana. So that was sort of a little over a month after you were released. You were real marijuana, then you had a baby, it was live. You sampled on the 22nd, but you dropped on the 29th of August, which was negative. Then on the 16th of October, you didn't drop, but on the 25th, you did, and it was negative, there's enough time span there that most of the issues would have been gone anyway. You had maybe about the wounded, but because it was the wounded, but that could have been from too much break you are. And then I sampled for a verbal rep in January on the 22nd, and then on the 23rd of March, just before the other violation started picking up, and we were talking to the PO, and we were passing for alcohol. So why are you bringing alcohol, sir? That's a definite violation.
Yeah, it was stupid. It was just a dumb mistake. I regret it, and it's no excuse for that. It was stupid. I shouldn't drink it. Yes, my back was hurt, but I didn't have to drink the alcohol. I did, and it was stupid. I regret it. I'm sorry. I mean, it was a dumb mistake.
What kind of pills did they give you for your back?
They gave me naproxen, which was anti-inflammatory, and then they gave me another pill for muscle spasm. It's kind of hard to pronounce. I don't know what it's called.
Okay. Yeah, these are the ones that muscle spasm. You're not supposed to be breaking alcohol when you're taking. I've been fighting a bad back for about 40 years now, so I'm pretty well experienced in all that stuff. Okay. I don't wonder if I have any questions at this time. Mr. West, do you have some more information for us?
Yes. I have that missing information when I was given my report. And his previous term of supervision in 2006, when he was arrested on a tech violation and he was reinstated by the Board of Executive Clemency, he absconded for 26 days. And his nature of his arrest was for his current conviction of the DUI, and he was stopped for no current plates, later admitted no insurance, no license, and was drinking beer. So his previous arrest, when he absconded last time he was reinstated, was for DUI.
Thank you, sir. So you have quite a problem with alcohol, I see.
Yes.
Okay. Alright, let's see, no questions from the board? Okay, so you're hearing at this time. The board do have a discussion about determination in a couple minutes. But before we do, we'll give you an opportunity to make a final statement. There's any information you think might be relevant to our decision, but we ask that you don't repeat the information that you already have given us. Now you can, if there's anything else you'd like to tell us.
Yeah, I just have to say that I took full responsibility for that day. I shouldn't have drank that beer. You know, the drinking and driving and all that, I had a real problem with alcohol. I lost my boxing career. I lost a lot of stuff because of drinking, but I'm different now. And my girlfriend, my mom, everybody sees it now, and I'm working, and this, I guarantee you that if I get released, I will not get a DUI. I left 11 months before I got one. I would have approximately 11 months before. And I would like the opportunity to show that I have changed, and that, believe it or not, I've just changed. I've grown up, I've matured. I don't know what changed in me. Maybe it was the 10 years that I've been in prison, but, you know, I want to be happy. I've learned that being happy and being high are two different things, and right now in my life, I want to be a grandfather, and I want to be happy, and I want to be sober, and I want to learn how to control my emotions so I don't get discouraged and frustrated, like I've been doing lately, you know, and just that I'm a different man now. That's all I can say. And I'm a grandfather now, and I just can't wait to let it out and show everybody, you know, that I've changed so far. Everybody's happy with what I've been doing out there as far as my family's concerned. And I just hope you consider that I'm trying my best and I'm doing okay. I'm not 100% there yet. No, I'm not. But I know I will be. And I just hope you consider that.
Thank you, sir. We won't be on the discussion. We do not work ourselves, maybe we're single. You may think we're talking to you, but we will be. So again, if you stay on the phone and listen to the entire conversation, just remain silent. And when we're done, I'll be back with you. Okay, sir?
Okay.
What is that discussion? This is a very interesting situation. With Mr. Alton Marno, I'm dating him, we're trying to see, okay. He obviously had a problem with the DUI or with alcohol in the years, but it seems to me that he tends to try to make excuses for non-compliance, but the excuses aren't necessarily very valid. If his back is that bad, we can't quit working on the 29th month to get to the point where it would be difficult finding a job. Most places that we have that kind of back trouble when hiring you fresh, they're going to have to deal with it. But everybody involved here in his past history with the Allison, I was a good candidate from Jerry Coonies' business time, but I'm going to listen to a discussion from any of my fellow board members.
Okay.
Okay. Based on all the information, is board number 2018W0226. Information from Mr. Alton Morello and all of the information from the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Alton Morello as he was delivered by the way, in terms of condition of supervision and all action will not lapse in putting away his company. And very specifically, he's an alcohol and the fact that he hadn't scheduled, he was not scheduled on a day where he'd be supervised properly. That motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, Mr. Wheeler. Seconded by Mr. Mittenhouse. And agreed upon by Mr. Johnson, Mr. Kermis. All right, Mr. Altamano, the board is going to revoke the community supervision at this time. We suggest that so that you be successful when you return to the community, is that you try to engulf yourself in some Alcoholics Anonymous, and probably when you work to do Narcotics Anonymous, and both very good programs, help you get control of yourself so that when you get out in April 30th of 2019, that you'll be able to successfully walk in Big Grandfather. I like to see you be very good at it. I have several grandkids myself. So anyway, you're reasonably been revoked, and is there any questions?
No questions.
Thank you, sir. Well, this way you're hearing, you put the phone down or hand it to the CO3?